Hello, we're having a fantastic morning here at the Listen Up seminar. And Antigone, we were talking about the what happens when you translate things from one language to another. Because obviously when you get a group of people together like this, and English is the shared language, there are some phrases that don't make sense. But you had a wonderful one from Greek.
Actually, in Gringlish.
In Gringlish.
Gringlish. When you want to say to somebody to come in the reality, you say, bring your miles.
Bring your mice.
Bring your miles. There's one more, very, very, very interesting. Your watermelon is losing.
Your watermelon is losing. And that's when someone's
that
going crazy?
That you are crazy.
For me, the opportunity to kind of to expand my own kind of language and concept of the world by doing direct translation, I find really useful. That English is a language that expands rapidly. That actually we're kind of okay with adding other words in. I mean, how is it for you? Is it useful for you thinking about this stuff in a second language, or is there a problem with having to translate ideas?
Like to have English in.
Yeah,
we have it in as a second language.
Yeah.
And so, also, we have Gringlish as a third language.
But are there concepts that relate to how Greek people think about democracy that don't translate into that, where the words don't mean the same thing? When you translate them, there's a loss.
About democracy.
Or political process in general, because politics is so, our understanding of what politics is for is kind of culturally defined. And I think that with the expansion of Europe,
actually, sometimes we have too much democracy.
Okay.
Yeah. And we need to minimize it. But we use democracy in every little time in our life.
Okay. So I think that's probably a point where the language starts to become problematic, because there are places where to say minimize democracy within Europe, they go, oh, you can't possibly say that.
Yes.
So can you expand on that? What do you mean by minimize democracy?
We have too much democracy. That means that I have my own democracy to make decisions. You have your own democracy, but my democracy have to stop when yours, like freedom.
Okay.
When yours, it starts.
Oh, so,
when yours, yeah.
Okay, so...
Cause actually, in my organization, we have too much democracy. And in the political party that I'm come from, the Democratic Rally, I'm from the youth of the Democratic Rally, actually.
Because in England, we would talk about that as being the concept of personal freedom. Mm-hmm. And the idea that there is a point at which my personal freedom, when that infringes on your personal freedom, that we have a problem.
Yeah.
And that democracy would be the mechanism by which we would negotiate that, because with a democratic vote, we then have a majority decision.
Yes, of course.
But in Greece, democracy and freedom are much... In Cyprus, a big mistake there. Well done me. Brilliant. In Cyprus, the idea of democracy and freedom are much... those are much more tightly linked then.
I do
get it, but it highlights the issue we have about defining the terms, because if you wrote a thing that just said, okay, here's a problem, we have too much democracy, and someone
it's
read that,
it's not a problem.
No, well, clearly, because it's not a problem, because what you just described.
We're very democratic, so that's why you have too much democracy. We're very democratic people.
So the problem of democracy is actually that it can make things difficult.
Yeah, sometimes you have to minimize it. Because when you are in an organization, you need somebody to lead.
Yeah.
And you have to listen to him sometimes. So you are free to express yourself and act as you want, but you have to listen to him sometimes.
Which I suppose again ties into the ideals of democracy, which is that we have elected leaders and they make decisions for a time, and that pragmatically that works, because if you're voting on every single thing, whether it's in a small group or a country, nothing ever gets done.
Yes.
So that you're saying that on a small level, we sometimes need to actually say, look, in order to get things done, we need to elect a leader who makes decisions.
The problem in elections sometimes is the people that don't go to vote.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we have this problem in England that, yes, that the number of people who vote in particularly local elections is so low that
it everywhere, and especially in the USA.
Yeah.
There's a very little percentage of people that want to elect.
Okay, so
leader.
So in Cyprus, do you see that the crisis changes people's relationship with democracy?
Yes. We have crises, just like in Greece.
Yeah. But because certainly here, that when it seems like the stakes are much higher, that people then get much more involved in the democratic process. And it goes both ways, because you have people who then start to vote out of a far greater sense of self-interest because they're scared for their jobs and for their houses, and so people vote based on the things that affect them,
yes,
but they get more involved. So you have this, it's kind of a two-edged sword.
Yes, they involve. They involve more.
Yeah.
Like before, not just like before. But their vote now, it's not the same as before.
Yeah. I think because if the French election that's just happened is kind of interesting like that, because they had, 80% turnout, 85%, really high turnout in the election. And partly because it so much is at stake, that they saw it as a referendum on the European plan, that austerity was this kind of thing put forward as being the way forward, and the French went, you know what,
I think the European Union is in crisis.
Yeah. And so I suppose the big question is that crisis going to be good for democracy?
Maybe, probably.
Maybe we'll find out some answers here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll find out at the end of the seminar.